Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Led by the Spirit of God. And this should be part six. Part six in the series. I'm going to be in Psalm 18 and verse 28. This is one psalm that I'm going to encourage you to read often. As a matter of fact, our father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adeboye, gave this whole chapter a couple of years ago and encouraged that we read it in the morning and in the night, especially before going to bed in the night. And I'm going to reiterate that we do it. If you don't read any other Bible verse in the night, read this in the night, it's going to really help you. There was a reason the Holy Spirit gave him that scripture and that instruction. And forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Amen. Glory to God. It is good to be led by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 18 and verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. More often than not, we need to make decisions. Almost every day, if not every day, we have to make decisions. Some of them are more important than others. But at some point or the other in your life, you will have to make a decision. Whether it's a business decision, whether it's a location or relocation decision, whether it's a marital decision. You want to marry, you want to know who to marry, you don't want to miss it. Because if you miss it maritally, then the rest is just to ask for the mercy of God. Yeah, because it takes a toll on everything. If you make a mistake in business, you can do another business. If you make a mistake in your profession, you can chart another course. But if you miss it maritally, may you not miss it maritally. Yeah. It takes a whole lot from you. A whole lot. Such a person is never the same again. Never the same again. Even when people go to court and they divorce and all of that, if you ask those who have divorced, they can tell you it's like they are slashed into two, jostling for attention. It takes a lot from you. And it can be avoided. And for it to be avoided is what I'm teaching you tonight. God wants to enlighten, like the Americans enlighten. British was enlightened. God wants to enlighten your darkness, my darkness. He wants to do that. He's a good God. He wants light every time in every area of your life. Like I said, it might be a business decision. You want to know, do I do this business or not? Do I open this shop or not? Do I go to Lagos or stay in Ibadan? Do I move to Canada or stay back in Nigeria or Ghana or Cameroon? Because there is a place for you, really. There is a place. Now, if somebody tells you, it doesn't matter where you are, God can meet you anywhere. Yeah, God can meet you anywhere, but it's important where you are. It's important that you are in the center of the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? If God needs you in Lagos or you are in Ibadan, you're not going to fulfill your purpose. If God wants you in Ibadan, you're in a lorry, you're not going to fulfill your purpose. It's important where you are. Glory to God. In some, I'm going to come back here, but let me just give you one, two scriptures about your place. God has a place for everybody, and it's important to find out where God wants you to be, and you be there. That's where you're going to flourish. Psalm 133 from verse 1, it was talking about the anointing. Can you go there very quickly, media? Psalm 133 from verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garment. Yeah, verse 3. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. This dew descended in a particular place, and that particular place is called the mountains of Zion. You won't find this particular dew somewhere else. It's attached to a place. Right? He now said, for there, that particular location, the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He didn't talk about the mountains of Sinai. He didn't talk about the mountains of Egypt. He talked about Mount Zion, a particular place. Did you get that, church? And I was meditating earlier today, looking at the ministry of the Lord Jesus. When the persecution was too much at some point, the disrespect, the dishonor, they were trying to stone him every time he was talking and telling them about, you know, the things of God and telling them about his identity as the Son of God. Now, you know, these Jewish people, very funny, they went to him. I mean, John chapter 10 now. They went to him and look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him. He was on his own. They came to him, right? Now, follow my line of thought, please. And said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? How long do you want us to be doubting? If you are the Christ, meaning the Messiah, the Son of God, he said, tell us plainly. They said that to him. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. How long do you want to keep us in the dark? Huh? Now, you would think they were ready for the answer. Because he was on his own. They came to him. Now, look at the next verse. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now, remember, the primary way that God leads us in the New Testament is through the inward witness. Through the inward witness. A witness from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Romans 8:16. Now, Jesus was talking about the works that he was doing. He said, these works bear witness. Nobody did the kind of works he did. Nobody raised the dead son of a widow. You remember the widow of Nain? Nobody gave sight to the blind. Nobody ever did. I mean, a man came to the temple. His hand was withered. Jesus restored his hand. A woman was bent over for 18 years, whom Satan had bound. Jesus said to the woman, woman, thou art loosed. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. There were 20,000 people in that meeting because the Bible said 5,000 men. That's minus women and children. Nobody ever did those kind of miracles. He walked on water for crying out loud. He rebuked the storm. Nobody did any of the things that he did. So he said, these works bear witness of me. Now, look at these people. He said, but you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. Child of God, if you are not hearing his voice, you need to check. Are you his sheep or you are a goat? We cannot afford to just be coasting along with life, not knowing what to do with our lives, just second guessing almost every major decision. Munini, munini, munini. Are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, you should be led by God. And one of the ways, now, there are three major ways that God leads us in the New Testament. Don't worry, that's why we're here. I'm teaching you, I'm going back and forth on the same topic. Number one is the inward witness. Number two is the inward voice, which we're going to look at tonight. And number three is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, the voice of the Holy Spirit is also the voice of Jesus. Because whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, he gets that from Jesus, as Jesus gets from the Father. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. They hear my voice. And I know them. Aha. Come on, somebody say, he knows me. I love it. Don't you love it that Jesus knows you? Have you ever had an experience where the Lord called your name? Maybe you wanted to do something, he just called your name, like you heard your name. No, you wouldn't hear it from the outside. You hear it from the inside. And then you look around. The Lord knows your name. He does. Whether you've heard him before or not, I'm telling you, he does know your name. Can I have an amen? I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. My goodness. This was where we stopped last week. Not this scripture. We were in 1 John 5:13 that talked about we have now eternal life. Now, Jesus is explaining that here. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. It means if you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. You may have money, but you do not have eternal life. Jesus is the giver of eternal life. I give them a life that never ends. I give them a life that is superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. It is not a little life just for them to get by, pay their bills, and just pass with a second-class upper. No! This life is beyond anything and everything that you know, because it is the very life of God himself. And this life has the nature of God. That's why everybody that has received eternal life, you never remain the same again. If you are still doubting your salvation, come on, rededicate your life to Christ, because you probably have not encountered eternal life. The moment eternal life comes into your spirit, even you know that something has changed. Jesus said, this is what I give. And I wish that our churches would emphasize more on eternal life and less on money. How to become a billionaire in 3 months. How to build a house, how to own homes, how to, all of those things we met here, all of them we're going to live here. But one thing that transcends beyond time is eternal life. Are people aware that they have the life of God in them? And the devil comes and slaps Christian people, blue, black, and they can't even fight back because they don't know what they carry on the inside. Eternal life. If the revelation of this dawns on your spirit, you can run the devil out of your room. In fact, let me tell you something. You can run the devil out of your street and tell him, Mr. Devil, I live on this street. You are not permitted to come here. I drew the bloodline around my flat when we're living in Nashi. Just my flat. A block of 4 flats, and at the back, a flat up, a flat down, making 6. That was where the landlord lived. They came to that house. They came to every flat except mine. The one down was not yet occupied at the time, at the back. Mine was in front. So if they were coming anywhere, they should get to my flat first or second after the first flat. There was a night they raided the whole house. My wife was making ogbono soup and eba in the kitchen. I was in the room, so I called out to the room and said, let's just gist, and we're just gisting. And I got a text from my landlord, and I didn't understand the text. Thief, house. What does this mean? This man speaks impeccable English. What could be going on? We later found out. After they had done all their escapades, they took my neighbor. I was downstairs, the flat upstairs, and a generator was working. I mean, it was working, a working generator. They turned it off, they took it away. Now, you know you can't deny that. Because you will know, my gen stopped working, then you want to go and check. And by virtue of weapons she saw, she couldn't raise an alarm. Everyone was quiet that night. Nobody raised an alarm. Even the text didn't make any meaning. So I don't know what they came with. But the moment that they are moved into that house, I already sanctified the place. Look, a child of God lives here. You don't come here. This is a no entry zone. No flight zone. In America, where there's a place called the Capitol, that's the White House, where the U.S. president lives. The sky above that place is a no-fly zone to commercial airplanes. There is a permanent security in the White House. When an airplane misses his way and is kind of finding his way to the White House, they have a base where they send a signal to the pilot and tell him, veer off. Get off, get off. You're approaching a no-fly zone. If, peradventure, he's deaf, they will send another airplane, one of their own jets, to go meet him in the air, pilot to pilot, and give him a warning. So if it does happen that he's very stubborn, that means he's an enemy. I am telling you, they're going to drop that guy. Doesn't matter how many people are there, they drop that guy because you are a threat to the life and the family of the American president. That's the American president. How about you, a child of the Most High God? Shouldn't your home where you live be a no-fly zone to the devil and all his soldiers and all of the witches and wizards in hell? And witches and wizards don't allow you sleep in the night? I've had people complain. They say cats come around and they make noise and you can't sleep. Child of God, child of God, don't fight cats. Make a decree. Decree, this is the no-fly zone. You have eternal life. Now, you think God will be living in the place and Satan will come and be disturbing God? And God will have a very troubled time because Satan is harassing him. Can he harass God? Who are you? Who are you? If you're a child of God, then someone that can harass your father, why should he be harassing you? Anyways, let me read this very quickly. Now, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never. Glory to God. This is John chapter 10. And I'm in verse 28 now. They shall never perish. Destruction usually is from the outside. Perishing is from the inside. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and because of that, they shall never perish. It is not a prayer. It is what he has said. So you should say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because I shall never perish. Can I have an amen? Yes. Someone say, oh, in the name of Jesus, you will not perish. Oh, you will not perish. Oh, no, no, no. I know who I am. Thank you, Father. I bless your name because I'm born again and I have the eternal life of God in me. And because of that eternal life I have, I shall never perish. Amen? So it's not a prayer you are praying for me. It's what I know. Jesus has said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Can I have an amen to that? Now, quickly, so I can drive on my point and go back to what I'm teaching. Now, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Neither shall any man. So no man can pluck you out of the hands of Jesus. My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all. My Father is greater than all. My Father is greater than all. My Father is greater than all. Is any man anywhere intimidating you? Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. He's greater than the president of your country. My Father is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my father's hand. These are authoritative words. Stop being afraid of the devil. Come on now. He cannot pluck you out of God's hands. That man is a herbalist. Don't mess with him. Just let the sleeping dog lie. No, not where I live. In the name of Jesus, herbalist, you have to perish and get out of here. Christian people run away from devils in certain neighborhoods. They say, I live in this neighborhood. It's impacting on my life negatively. I have to pack out. No, 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 no. You are the light of that place. They should pack out. Did you hear what I said? Unless, well, maybe it's not the place where you should be. Again, your place. If it's where you should be, I know. Darkness does not give quit notice to light. Hello? And light does not fight darkness. So quit fighting darkness. Turn on the light. When you turn on the light, it drives out the darkness. You're working in a place and you're enjoying your work and the pay is good and you have the blessings of God and the peace of mind. And somebody is fitting nothing in you. You know fitting nothing. Fitting nothing. Oh Lord, who is gonna interpret to my Akwa Ibom sisters? Somebody is troubling you in your place of work. And you have turned yourself to a cry baby. Oh God, I don't like this persecution. No, you are not to quit the job for the children of darkness. They should be living one by one because of you. Can I have an amen? Amen? These are things you need to know. Because the days in which we live are very dark. And we had better remind ourselves of the covenant that we have with God. Now we have eternal life through the blood of Jesus. That's the new covenant. No, I said that cannot happen to me. If it happens to everybody in this place of work, it is not going to happen to me. Everybody resumes work and in 3 months they fall sick. And they're admitted for 3 months in the hospital. No, it cannot happen to me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have eternal life. Okay, sit down there. You better go and look for another work. Because in this place, there's bad luck. Oh, well, I don't know about bad luck. Neither do I know about good luck. But I know about eternal life. And I know about the favor of God that surrounds me like a shield. According to Psalm 5 and verse 12. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then see what they did. See what the Jews did. They were the one that came to ask him a question. Tell us, why are you keeping us in the dark? Are you the Christ? And he told them, yeah, I told you, you don't believe. And he said all of these. The next thing, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You remember in John chapter 8, they picked up stones to stone him. This is now chapter 10. This is the second time they are picking up stones again to stone him. The man was on his own, Jeje. You came to ask him questions. Now, Jesus answered them, many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Then the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, we stone thee not. For a good work, we stone thee not. But for a blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You are a man. You make yourself God because he called himself Son of God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I'm the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Oh my goodness. Therefore, see what happened. They sought again to take him. Every time he told them his identity, they had a problem with his identity. The same thing happens every time you speak about who you are. To the people of the world, they will fight you. What are you feeling like? Child of God? Are we children of the devil? Have I called you children of the devil? Just say, I'm blessed and highly favored. So we are not blessed, Abby. Did I say that? So when they did that again, this is where I'm going. The Bible says, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. How did he do that? It was supernatural. Because he was right there. They could have picked him up. They wanted to pick him up, but for some reason, they could not pick him. Right? And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. He went to a particular place. There is a place God wants you to be per time. Be led by the Spirit. Why did he go back to that place? He was led by the Spirit of God to go back there. That was where John first baptized people. He went away again, beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode. Now, when he abode there, what happened? Next verse. And many resorted unto him. You know, he left town. Many people came looking for him. They resorted. The place became a resort. They resorted unto him. All right? And said, John did no miracle. The people said so. But all things. Somebody say all things. Somebody say all things. But all things that John spake of this man were true. Guy. John fulfilled his purpose. He did no miracle, but he fulfilled his purpose. All things he said about this man were true. And many believed on him there. And many believed on him there. So there is a place for you. If he had not chosen that place where the Father chose for him, if he had gone somewhere else, he would not have recorded this kind of success. They chased him out of town. They wanted to kill him. He went to another place, and ministry grew in that other place. Be led by the Spirit of God. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord said, I will guide you with my eye. King asked the question along that line. Oh, no, Psalm 32, verse 8. Is it 32, verse 8? Did I get it right? Or did I quote the wrong scripture? Yeah, 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldest go, that thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye. How will God do it? Does it mean the eye of God will appear in the sky? Follow my eye. No. The old covenant is the new covenant concealed. The new covenant is the old covenant explained. So in the explanation, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul the apostle, this is how I do it. In the old covenant, this is what I would do. But the how, they didn't know. Now, the how is in the new. Romans 8:16. Likewise, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are, what are we? The children of God, that we are the children of God. So number one way that God leads us in the new covenant is through the inward witness. There is a witness on your inside. This inward witness, I don't know how best to explain it. I've explained it again and again. I will try again. It's like a green light in your spirit, man. I mean, there is just a witness. There is an agreement between the Holy Spirit and your spirit. When you just know that you know, you can't explain it, but you just know this is the right thing to do. I'm in the right place. I remember when we moved to where we live right now, we were still shopping for accommodation. And we had gone to different places. This was during the lockdown in 2020. And there was a lot of security breach in town at the time because, you know, people were taking advantage of other people. They were robbing them. In my neighborhood, I'll just give you an example. They came to the house, our very house, went to all the flats except mine. Another time, people got assaulted in the neighborhood, just the house next to us. We just had a shout. This was about 6 p.m. It wasn't dark. We just heard a shout, and we all ran out. And the security men were chasing a guy, and he had jumped the fence and all of that. So those things were happening. And I thought, look, I travel a lot. By the time this lockdown is lifted and people are able to travel, I want my family to live in a place where my heart will be sick. I mean, I feel cool. I have peace of mind. I know that they are okay. They are fine. So I wanted an estate that is gated. So at least there'll be some measure of security. I just desired it. And I began to talk to God about it. So I saw many places. I didn't like them. No. They looked like where I lived. I said, no. Where I lived was not bad, but I wanted something better. At least we should be making progress. And so they took me to this estate and took me to a smaller apartment. I wanted it at all costs because I wanted that estate. And I just loved the peace I felt around that place. But a friend called me and said, Pastor Fred, don't take that apartment. I said, why? She said, because your family is increasing now. I've been to that apartment before because I also wanted to rent it. But it won't be nice. It will be a lot of friction in your family. Your wife will not like it. Your children at some point, blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay. She was able to convince me. But I said something to the Lord. I went back to that estate, and I was almost at the point of making payment. I said, Lord, give me a place here. I'm trusting you for a miracle accommodation on this estate. And we forgot about it. All the landlords on that estate, some of them are agents. So they are landlords, then they are also agents. So they were the ones I was working with. And they gave me information that, well, as for this estate, there is no vacancy for now. None exist. But there is one somewhere. But don't let us even go and show you that place. It's very expensive. I said, how much? He said, it's in the region of almost 700,000. Now, I was coming from a place where I was paying a rent of 220. And rent was moving to 250. And, well, not too bad, but I wanted a better place, a better place that would not come with a higher rent. If possible, a cheaper rent, but a better place. You know, that's like a very lofty dream. So when they mentioned the figure, I said, well, no need to even inspect that place. So indeed, there is no vacancy on this estate, but Lord, I'm trusting you for a miracle accommodation. So one of the days, a landlord called me from the estate and said I should come. So I went there, and then he took me outside the estate. I said, no, I wanted a place. He said, with your budget, there's none, no. Come and see this one. It's like this one. I said, anyway, I went there. I didn't like the place. And I said, we don't like this place. After about a month, you see, I said that prayer and I put it before the Lord. I wasn't even reminding him every day, but I knew that I did cast that burden over unto the Lord. 1 Peter 5. And I think it's verse 5 now. Can you put that up for me? Cast your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you, or he sustains you. Media, can you do that for me? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. So move on. Move on, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All right? Can you give me the Amplified Classic very quickly? AMPC. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting the whole. Let's read this together, everybody. Want to go? Casting the... I can't hear you. Want to go? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's what the Lord does when you pray from your heart and you cast the care on him and you refuse to go and take it back from him. Because some of us cast our care in the place of prayer on the Lord. But after a while, after the prayer, we go and take it back. Lord, I need that load of care again. I want to mourn over it. I want to enjoy it a little bit. I need to worry a bit. It looks like I'm not worried. And I need to worry. Because if I don't worry, that means I'm a careless person. Don't take care. Put the care on the Lord. Don't take care. Did you hear what I said? My sister is sick right now. Lord, are you going to do something about it? Once you pray and you tell the Lord about it, don't take the load of care on yourself. You are not Jesus. You cannot heal your sister. You can't take away the cancer in her blood. You cannot. Some of us worry. We worry for ourselves. We worry for our siblings. We worry for our parents. We worry for our generations yet unborn. I am telling you, it is sinful before the Lord. If you backpedal this scripture, backpedal to verse 5, it told us to humble ourselves. One of the ways you humble yourself is to cast your care. When you don't cast your care, you are not humble before the Lord. You are telling the Lord you can handle it. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but then gives grace to the humble. Next verse. He gives grace to the humble, right? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we do that? Verse 7. By casting your care, all your care, upon the Lord. When you worry and you are anxious, you are telling the Lord that the Lord cannot take care of that situation, that you can take care of it, and he should give it to you to take care of. How much can you take care of? When you sleep in the night, do you know what's happening to you? Do you know what's happening around you? But there is a he that protects you. You don't know whether there's a crocodile that visits your neighborhood. That is none of your business. But you say, no, I'm going to stay up. Lord, there is a bush around here. There is a stream in the bush. Lord, I want to pray. Every evil crocodile that might be in the bush, Lord, show me so I can deal with it. Every snake around here, every scorpion, and you stay all night. If you stay all night that way for 1 week, you're going to end up in Professor Lambo Unit, University College Hospital, Ibadan. And that's the place you don't like to visit. Can you cast your care on the Lord and please go to bed? Can I have an amen? Lord, I don't know if there are witches. They say witches fly in the night. They say some birds make noise in the night and they are going to meeting. Marabababababa, I cannot sleep. Oh, robo, I will not sleep tonight. Every evil bird, they say it's 1 a.m. you fly. Tonight is tonight. Can you go to bed and allow the evil birds go to bed too? What's your business? If they mess up around you, there is a hand that's going to deal with them. Amen? He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. Israel should have common sense to slumber and sleep. Two of us cannot be keeping vigil. The one keeping me is keeping vigil already. I should enjoy some good sleep. In one place, in I think Isaiah 38, after they prayed, they went to bed. And by the time they woke up in the morning, an angel had killed 185,000 enemies. Because they prayed and they went to bed. After praying, go to bed. You pray, you stay awake because you still want to answer your prayer. When you pray about your business is slow. Decree over it. Pray over it. Go to bed. But some of us are so detailed. No, Lord, you need to explain to me every detail. Which graphic should I do? Which one? Now, ask questions, yeah? But after you have prayed, please go to bed. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lord, I don't know if there's a snake in my car now. When I rolled down my window in UI, Lord, under a tree. How careless can I be? And then you are driving, and then something just touches you. Ah! You see, very soon everybody will think that you're weird. Christianity has been reduced by many people and churches. They pray against house flies. Every evil house fly, every evil cockroach. The speaker goes bad in church. The pastor is binding the devil. Devils don't stay in speakers. That's not a nice place to stay. They prefer human beings. Pastor, trust God for finances to buy new speakers, sir. Don't bind the devil. There's no devil in the speaker. People don't rest in God. They don't enter into his rest because the word preached to them is never mixed with faith in them. Are you with me, church? I spoke tonight about your place. You see, Jesus went back to that place beyond Jordan, and people came to him And he won many souls right there. Now, number two way that the Holy Spirit leads us is what I'm introducing tonight, which is the inward voice. Somebody say the inward voice. Now, we've spoken about the inward witness. I believe you know that already. Oh, I was telling you a story about where we live now. Finally, I got a call by a church member. So I went there. This time, they didn't tell me the price of the place. And it was the same estate. I said, but they said there's no vacancy there. She said, well, somebody told me you need accommodation. Come over. So I went with my family this time. I'd been going alone or with my wife. So I went with the children. And they took us to the place. We got into the apartment. As we entered, I'm talking about the inward witness. In my spirit, oh, such a nice place. The entire wall painted white. And you know I like white. Ah, nice. Guess what? My children ran into the rooms. I was still in the living room. They had not shown me the bedrooms. Three bedrooms. They ran into the rooms, and while I was still talking to the agent, plus our church member, the woman who took us there, and her daughter, and my wife, my children ran back into the living room. Daddy, I found my room. Daddy, I found my room. Your room? Those guys know what the inward witness is. There was already a registered witness. I found my room. And when I looked at the place, I said, this is really nice. I saw the dining area. I saw a wash basin where you could wash your hands or cutlery when you want to eat. I mean, I like it. You get up from your dining set, you can wash your hands. This looks really good. I didn't have that growing up. And then they took me into the rooms, and then I saw the master bedroom with its own bathroom. And I saw the water heater. I said, this is good for hammer time. This is good. And the question on my mind was, how much would this place really be? Before I got the chance to ask, I saw the tiles, very nice, gold and black. And we went downstairs, and the man showed me the generator place. He said, you see that flat? This is their space for their own generator. If you bring your generator, this is your space. There is a cable already you are going to connect. Everything looked like plug and play. Nothing compared to what I'd seen before. So by the time we finished all of the sightseeing, I said, so how much would this place cost now? And behold, it was the same place they told me, let's not even talk about that one because it's on the high side. And the mention and everything, total package at that time was going to almost 800,000. 800. I was coming from 220, believing God for 220 or 200 or 180. Because it was locked down. Nobody was working. The best and the most sensible thing was to look for ways to cut your costs and not to be spending more money. And I'm believing God for my house anyway, so why would I be spending all the money on rent? But don't forget, I wanted a very good apartment. I wanted a very good environment, and I wanted a gated estate for security purposes. All of the options you want are available. But so they told me, and the children had received the rooms. How do I go back to these children to say, well, we will not be coming here? I'm telling you, I would have disappointed them forever. So I looked at my wife and she looked at me. We both understood the language. So we went back home. We thanked them very much. So when are you coming? Well, I said, don't worry. We'll give you a call. Boom. They linked us up to a man. They called him Bishop. They said he was the one in charge. He was actually the main person in charge of the house. The man called me. He said, I was praying and the Lord told me that a man of God was coming to take this place. Said, a Yahoo boy had come. I didn't give him. He said, because the Lord told me and my wife, we prayed for 2 hours. We came to that apartment to pray. And the Lord told us that a man of God was coming to take the place. Are you a man of God? I said, yes, I'm a man of God. He said, you must be the person. I said, thank you, sir. So when are you ready? I said, I will be ready. Give me a while, sir. I'm telling you, God did a financial miracle. I didn't have that money. But God did a financial miracle. And the money came together, and I made the first payment. The man was so happy. I beat the date. I told him I was going to pay. And he said, okay, so when are we doing the balance? Just to show my commitment, I beat the deadline for the balance. And we moved in record time. We had an inward witness. This is the place we were supposed to be. If you go to the wrong place, maybe it's a shop or an office space, and it's not for you, in your spirit, please follow your spirit if you are born again. In your spirit, the Holy Spirit will witness to your spirit, this is not the place. You may not hear an audible voice, but you will lose your peace now. But many, many times, we don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit is about to say. We want to be moved by sight. This place looks nice. The environment is nice. How can the Holy Ghost be telling me that this is the place? So, 3 months, 6 months down the line, something will happen that would show you I missed it. But I pray for you, because we all make mistakes in this journey. But you will not make the kind of mistakes that will cost you more than you have bargained for, in Jesus' name. You will not make mistakes that will cost your life. For some people, they don't escape it. They don't escape it. God is a merciful God. I am telling you, when you miss it as a child of God and you are sincere, He will find a way to help you recalibrate. But you will be knowing, as you want to transfer the money, the thing will be telling you, transfer. Don't transfer this money. You know, sometimes you even want to transfer the money. For 1 week, the money is in your account and you don't know why you are not transferring it. If that happens to you, don't transfer. Sometimes the Lord is helping us to hesitate. It might be an invitation to come and minister in the church. And the Holy Ghost is saying, don't go there. 1 week, you have not replied them. And you want to reply. You get on your system. 2 weeks, you've written the reply, then you deleted it. Go back and check. Lord, do you really want me to go there? So, let's quickly talk about the inward voice before we close tonight. The inward voice is the voice of your born-again human spirit. Your born-again human spirit has a voice. Just like your outer man has a voice. You can hear my voice tonight, right? Your own spirit also, that is born again on the inside, has a voice. That voice is called conscience. It is the voice of your spirit. It is also in the Bible described as a still, small voice. A still, small voice. Go to Romans chapter 9. Paul the apostle said something about his conscience. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience also bearing me witness. My conscience. See, if anybody is not born again, their conscience will permit them to do anything. Anything. But I can guarantee you, one of the ways you will even know you are a child of God and that you are born again is that your conscience will be pricking you when you want to do wrong. You may end up doing it though. You know, with your very stubborn head. Some of you know yourselves. Me too, I've been there. I still get there once in a while. But now, I'm getting better. I'm growing now. So, some things, I don't want to experiment again. But you know, he will tell you, oh boy, this thing is not good. Stop it. Your conscience. Acts 23. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23. And verse 1, I believe. Acts 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Can you say that about yourself? That you have lived in all good conscience. When you want to take something that doesn't belong to you, your conscience will tell you, oh boy, that thing you want to take does not belong to you. For example, you want to kiss somebody. That kiss does not belong to you. Ah, no, now, Pastor. Chebish is my girlfriend. We're going to marry very soon. We are going to marry is different from we are married. A premarital kiss is something that does not belong to you. As a child of God, you want to, your flesh wants to do it. Your spirit man is revolting and saying, no, 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 I'm born again. I have eternal life. Eternal life does not sin. Born again, people don't kiss before marriage. But you say, no, it's Valentine's Day. Glory be to God. This is for Valentine. It's just the Valentine edition. And then as mouth is about to join mouth, your heart will be beating boop, 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 because something is wrong. 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 And when you go to the wrong places and you want to step out, nobody has a better eyesight than a believer who has gone to a wrong place. When he steps out of the nightclub, he looks left, he looks right. He's a brother. He's leading the prayer ministry of the church. Nobody must find out that he has come to the nightclub. I can tell you his eyes are so sharp he can see next week. Or a man who takes another woman into a hotel. That one he can see next year. He can see into the future. Because nobody must find out. He's an elder in the church. He's an elder. And especially maybe he has taken a girl in the choir. Or somebody in ushering. The two of them are well known in church. Definitely they will go to a very far place. A far place that nobody would know. And they will wear something, maybe hoodie or face cap. They still want to cover. The punishment that Christians go through when we want to sin. I said we. So I'm putting myself in the picture so that you don't think that I'm judging you now. When we want to sin, the punishment we go through, if we just leave that punishment alone, we'll have peace. Because the things that unbelievers do freely, you know you cannot do. You can't. Even though sometimes you do, you say, I don't care. I dare anybody. It's a lie. See, on your inside. You said they say, oh girl. But when you were an unbeliever, you know you could do these things easily and nobody cared. You didn't even care. When your conscience is alive and active, it's a sign that you are born again, no? Because God will lead you through your conscience. Amen? Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Ah, conscience, oh powerful. I'm telling you. You know, it's easy for people to lie against you sometimes. But when you know that you have not done what they said, you will speak boldly in all good conscience. But if there's an iota of what they are saying against you, and you've done it truly, oh boy, your mouth, your voice may be loud, but your conscience will be telling you, Alagba. You did not steal 10 million, but you took 1.5. You will not be able to say, I did not take anybody's money. You will be saying, I did not take 10 million. Why can they be lying against me? Because they came up with the propaganda. I stole 10 million. I know, but in my life, I've never stolen 10 million. But you stole 1.5. But imagine you didn't steal a dime. You say, God is my eternal witness. I stand in all good conscience. I have never stolen a dime in this organization. Anyone that has a proof against me, step forward. Ah, even at such a time, when a false witness wants to come out, fear will grip them. If I fall down dead. Especially when you call God upon the scene. Ah, that Pastor Fred, you know, that man is handsome. You don't know what he's doing with those girls, though. Somebody actually asked me in the church before, in the Young Men's Fellowship. I said, Pastor Fred, how are you doing it? I said, how, sir? He said, with all those fine girls in Expression House. He said, when I look at them on Sunday like this after service, he said, Expression House is like Koza in Abuja. I said, I've never been to Koza before. He said, fine girls. I said, I see daughters of God. I don't know the fine girls you're talking about. I said, you only see what you go to see. Jesus asked them when they came to him in the wilderness, and they were talking about John. He said, What went ye for to see? A reed broken or tossed with wind? What went in Kotobaba Losoja? Whatever you go to look for in the market is what you will find. I said, I'm looking at people being transformed by the word of God, by the power of God, for them to take the light of God to the nations. I'm not seeing potential girlfriends. I said, another one said, but I heard that your wife Sometimes when somebody's indecently dressed, we go and help them to adjust and dress properly and give them handkerchief. I say, well, maybe that has happened one or two times. Maybe the person was sitting in front and they didn't know how to sit where. I say, but when I'm preaching, I'm too busy to see how you are sitting. I can't see your sitting position. Me, that the whole of my head, I want to deliver my message. I struggle to finish every message. I confess before you tonight, including this one I'm teaching. The message God gave me, I've not finished. It's girl that's not sitting properly. I'll be looking at. Why do you think most of my messages are serious? The one I did last Sunday, I was thanking God when I got home. I finished it. When I went online, I saw somebody put a caption. It said, part one. I said, who told you part one? Covenant message, part one. So media people, they already are. Anything, part one. We don't know what I was about, part four. Look, do you know that it's what you actually focus on that magnifies? And it multiplies. What you focus on. What you focus on. The day you make up your mind, you're going to buy Toyota Camry 2010. Step out on the streets. You will see white. I didn't know the white is so nice. It was black I had in mind. Before that day is over, you will see wine. Oh, no, the wine is bad. Everywhere you go from that moment, you'll be seeing that Toyota Camry 2010. Me, my grave car is called to buy Nigeria. I didn't know. It's been there all the time. But now that you have chosen to focus on it, it multiplies as it were. What I see here is Jesus. So when I look at all of you ladies, I see Jesus. I trust him for an opportunity to make your life better, not bitter. The everlasting confusion that a pastor will cause in the life of a member is the day as a pastor or as a leader, you sleep with your church member. That person will not recover from that confusion. Because as long as the person sees you, they don't know whether to address you as their pastor or as their boyfriend or man friend. You have taken on another character. I am not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying, me, I cannot follow. No, I always ask for his mercy. His mercy. His mercy. There's nobody that cannot fall. But let's stay in the mercy lane and let's keep our focus on what is important. You see, the moment you begin to focus on the wrong things, see shape, you are already in trouble. This applies to the way you also relate in your ministries. When you come for your rehearsals, make sure emphasis is on rehearsal. Somebody came to your rehearsal some time ago, I won't tell you which ministry, but you know the ministries that rehearse. So begin to think. And I got hold of the person. I said, follow me to my office. And she followed me to my office. I said, look at you. You are indecently dressed. Do you want somebody to go to hell on your account? Because with the way you have dressed, which I don't want to describe, this pulpit is holy. I said, you can make a brother who just gave his life to Christ backslide. He will not listen to anything that he has said. What is seen is what he'll be thinking of how to get after, how to get hold of. So don't do that. Don't be an instrument for someone else's fall. Rather, be a vessel. Let it be credited in heaven that you help somebody to find Christ. Are you with me, church? Your conscience. I close tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Some people's conscience is dead. Dead. Utiku. May your conscience not die. 1 Timothy 4, 2. I'll take it from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does it mean for somebody's conscience to be seared with a hot iron? I've given you the illustration before. When you begin to carry hot objects, for example, hot pot from fire with bare hands, the first time you might drop it to very hot, piping hot. But if you keep doing that repeatedly, What will happen to the cells of your palms? Talk to me, church. The cells will die. When the cells die, do you know that a time will come, you will pick the same hot pot, you won't feel the pain anymore. Why? The cells have died. My mother would carry a pot of hot yam, pieces of yam, boiled yam, from the stove, put it down. Ondo woman, because she wanted to pound yam. None of us dared it. But she had done it repeatedly. Saute. She didn't feel the pain anymore. And man, God bless you if you get a slap from my mom. You will see stars. Ah! Yaki, I can still feel the slap. I am telling you that. One day when she wanted to slap me and I escaped, she took my football. My precious football. And it was because I went back. She called me to come and assist her. She was pounding yam. My little sister, I have three of them. The youngest of them that time couldn't sit on her own. So she asked me to support her to sit. So I put my legs. And I remember that, the guys were still playing my football. The football was mine. So let me quickly go and collect my ball and come back. I went to collect my ball. Before I got back, my sister fell. I don't know why she fell. She used her head to hit the floor like this. She's a married woman now, with four kids. As I was bringing the football, my mom, Yakin, just said, I saw the slap, I escaped the slap, I threw the ball. So she just removed the pot of yam from the stove, from the fire. Fire was still there, and she put the ball there. And in my eyes, I saw the ball shrink. Trust me, we still played that ball much later. But if you get her slap, you are slapped. That place was dead. That's like the conscience of some Christians. You see, our continual exposure to fire is like a Christian who continues to expose himself to sin. When you sin, you go and repent. You go back and sin again, then you repent. You go back and sin again, then you repent. You go back and sin again. After some time, you will not repent again. God understands. It's not easy. Everybody is in the flesh. After all, you know what's going to happen? A time will come. May that not happen in your life. Yeah. When the heart is exercised repeatedly in sin, a time will come such a heart will be numb. Numb, N-U-M-B. It will be insensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It will not care again. When a Christian gets to that point, they are backslidden, they have gone far from the Lord, the conscience that is now supposed to be leading them is dead. So when a warning comes, they don't even know, and they can walk into destruction. When a Christian is in business and you know you are not going to execute this job and you collect money from this one, you collect money from that one. So don't worry, I'll do it all. 3 weeks. And you collect money, and then you run away. A Christian. You know what has happened? His conscience is dead. A pastor was caught drinking alcohol. So his church members took him up and said, Reverend, how can you be drinking alcohol? And he came to church and said, I know some of you, you are saying that I'm drinking alcohol. After all, my drinking is not to the point of falling down. I'm not getting drunk. Does the Bible say that you should not drink alcohol? When a Christian begins to justify what they should criticize, it's a sign that their conscience is dead. Oh, it's a dangerous way to live. The very same thing you used to criticize, now you encourage. Are you making progress spiritually? That's not progress, that's retrogression. A friend of mine went to have a meeting with the pastor. The man brought out a chilled bottle of Trophy. He put it on the table like this. My friend could not concentrate on the meeting. He was looking at the bottle. The man said, why are you looking at the bottle? The bottle was sweating. He looked at the man, he looked at the bottle. He looked at the man. This man, very charismatic.
Ah!
He could preach.
Sweet mouth.
Today, we don't know his address. He has left Ibadan.
A pastor of a major Pentecostal church here in Ibadan.
A church we shouldn't just mention. He's now a motivational speaker. Somewhere in Warri. Another one. Ah! They used to call him Didas Kolos in another major ministry in Ilorin.
Didas Kolos would give you 200 scriptures in one sermon.
I'm not exaggerating.
Didas Kolos means a teacher of the word.
The last they saw him, somebody saw him driving a truck in Oshogbo. Another one of his mates, this one, before his father in the Lord, whose name I don't want to mention, would come to minister. They were the ministers to minister before the main pastor would come and minister.
The anointing would have been so heavy on the house. If he removed the shoe and threw it in the church, people would fall in that direction.
But you know what? He began to sleep with the women in the church. He began to sleep with the women. Information came to their father in the Lord, tried to reprimand him.
But he knew the word. And he was anointed. After all, even you anointing God as our father in law, it's not like the anointing had. Throw your shoe, will anybody fall?
The last they checked,
he had moved in with a married woman inside the church building.
The woman had left her husband, he too had left his family, and they were living together with four children and sleeping together in a church. They could not even afford to rent a house. I can tell you stories upon stories. That did that close.
They moved him to Port Harcourt. Their branch in Port Harcourt. The church will be fasting. He was living in the house of a brother working in an oil company, very rich. And because they really honored him, he knew the word. 200 scriptures in one sermon. They honored him, so they housed him. He was their minister. He was the minister posted to their branch in Port Harcourt. The church will be fasting 30 days. He would tell the wife of his host, make pounded yam for me. But sir, you announced yesterday that fasting will start. I said, make pounded yam for me. He would eat in their house and the people will be fasting. And guess what? He will come to church on Sunday. He will minister. The anointing will move. How do you marry that? People don't realize sometimes that when God still moves through them, he is doing it in spite of them. He is only trying to get across to his people, to bless his people. Not minding what you are doing, but for you, it's only a matter of time. You will soon expire.
It's like a ceiling fan. When you turn it off from the switch, it will still roll for a while. Today is a truck driver. If he has not died, he's a truck driver in Oshobo. Another one has become an OAP, a preacher of the word. He has become an OAP. OAP. May your anointing not be a once upon a time. When God is warning us through the inward witness or through the inward voice, which is your conscience, please listen. If there's a challenge with your flesh, I recommend go to God. If that flesh is so strong, it's pulling you, fast. Get into fasting. I will encourage marathon fasting. Biri biri, complete 3 days. God, deal with this flesh for me. If the demon is still very stubborn, go for 7 days. By the time you almost die, the demon will go. You have laughed. I'll close with this story. The senior pastor said, our lead pastor said, he wanted to do deliverance for a lady. She had a big problem. Very big. So he said to her, fast for 3 days. Me too, I'll fast for 3 days. Biri biri fasting. So the third day, I think the lady was living in UCH at the time.
The moment he showed up in their flat like this, the demon spoke from the lady. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Ebi Pamio, I want to go. I want to go now. Thank you for coming.
The demon said he was hungry. As long as your flesh is strong, they feed on that.
I'm hungry. I want to go. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. He said that simple. In the name of Jesus, get up. Oof.
The demon left.
Ah,
thank you. This one is punishing me. But you go and eat. You go and watch pornography. You go and smoke small. You drink small. You club small. They say, continue, continue. I'm enjoying it. You are perfect. No, no, this is the era of grace. Go easy. The devil feeds on your flesh. Somebody say, I have the eternal life of God in me. Stand on your feet, everybody. Put on the screen 1 John 5:13. I want us to close like we closed last week. 1 John 5:13. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Let's read together, everybody. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye are going to have, that ye have. You already have. Present tense. You have. What do you have? Eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me say these two things and we close. The Lord Jesus said to Papa Dad Hagen, if you follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. These things I'm teaching you are not just for spiritual things only. They are also for marital things. They are also for financial things. They are also for academic things. Are you listening to me? Inward witness. If I don't have an example, even though the guy is a coconut head, I have an example here tonight. Demi Blanche. She opened a business in Songo some time ago. And she called me to come and pray, come and dedicate the place. So I went there. She's my girl. And I've told her, anywhere you like, go. I will not give up on you. Ori ekunkoye. You come back to church. I said, how did you come about this idea? Nice place. She said it was Bible study. One of those Bible study sessions teaching. And she came. And the idea just came in her spirit. She had always been doing makeup, makeover all over the place. But the idea came that you can have your own beauty parlor. And she rejected the idea. Ah, Mike, small me like this, beauty parlor. Ah, how do you have the money to do it? Who will come? What if people don't patronize you? What if? But the idea came in Bible study. One of you here can own a petrol station. Did you hear what I said? By one idea that comes through the inward witness. I'm still trusting God for more businesses to open. I want to dedicate more businesses in this house. Some of you are working for people now. Very soon, people will be working for you. By the inward witness. Your eyes will just open. Ah, I can do this thing now. Yes, you can. I want you to start thinking as you are going home tonight. Some of you, you've got to that point where you can commercialize that business, but you are still doing it for free. I remember the days I used to do jingles for free. It was in this cubicle upstairs. I will hide there, myself and one of my friends, Emeka Namani. I will write out the script. We'll be reading. Drama night is coming up from the stables of the Shekinah Stone. The Shekinah Stone is the drama ministry of the Stone Church. Come Saturday, 13th October 2012 at 4 p.m. prom. The theme this year is Iyabo. Come one, come all. Grab your own copy now. We will hide there upstairs. Myself and Emeka Namani. Sometimes, bro, ACN will be the one to write the script, but I will be the one to voice it. I always voiced it. One day, our pastor then, Pastor Max Ojewumi, who is the owner of Jericho Mall, he used to be in this church. He was one taking announcement. So he said, Shekinah Stones, let's have you. And I read the script. After reading, the man shook his head and said, you guys had better not waste this talent. You had better commercialize these things. He didn't say more than that. I held on to it. Commercialize it. Commercialize it. Today, if you get me to make a jingle for you, you will pay money. I didn't go to any university to learn how to make a jingle. I learned it in the church. Doing it free for church. OJ, you can shake your head because your dad and Treasure's dad were my mentors. Follow the inward witness. To be rich is not as difficult as we are looking at it. God will make you rich. The same God that said to Kenneth Hagin, I'll make you rich, will make you rich. Amen. Number two, as you go home tonight, you have eternal life. Say, I have eternal life. Papa Kenneth Hagin went to minister in a church. He went there as the new pastor of the church. Please go home with this story. There was a lady in that church called Mary. Mary did not start school until age 7. And when she started school at age 7, she did not leave grade 1 for another 7 years. So she became 14 in grade 1. No promotion. As of that time, she still did not know how to write her name at 14 in America. So the teachers gave up on her. They told the parents to come and withdraw her. So he knew her when she was 18. He said in the church like this, he'll be taking a sermon. And Mary would, if she didn't sit with her mom, she would sit on the floor. She would hide under the pew. Sometimes she would lift up her skirt. An 18-year-old. Her hair would be bad. She would call around like a baby at 18. One night, they had a revival meeting. Mary made it forward, responded to the altar call. Eternal life that you have now went into Mary. By the next night, she came to the service with her hair well combed. Sat down like a lady. By the next night, all of that began to happen. Papa Kenneth Hagin got transferred. He left the church. A few years later, he came back to town and asked the church secretary, whatever has become of Mary? Ah, Mary, come, Papa Hagin. Then they pointed to some houses down the street. Say, you see those buildings there? All of those were erected by Mary. Mary built them. She's the owner of those buildings. What happened? Well, now she's a widow. She's got 3 children. But I can tell you, our children are the best dressed and the most behaved children in the church. They sit in the front pew every Sunday morning. Mary's tithes and offerings are always in the church in every service. You know what happened to our mentality? It increased by 90% through eternal life. Eternal life will increase your mentality. Father, we thank you tonight because we have eternal life.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.